And welcome back to your extended news at noon. Tracy Morgan in with you, of course. And on the phone with me is Mr. Kevin Amick. He's the new VA director for the Butler VA. And first of all, I say welcome, Kevin. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good. And I say new, but yet you joined us quite a few months ago. It just seemed the past few months just rolled right into each other. So we're still officially calling you the new director. So welcome to the area.
Thank you. It's been a different time, certainly, but my wife and I have certainly enjoyed the time that we've been here so far. Been almost 5 months.
Yeah, we're going to talk about COVID in a second, but aside from that, yes, Butler is a very welcoming place, and we're glad that you're here. Let's talk a little bit about your history, if we could.
Okay.
I know you were in the Navy, a career that spanned 21 years. Impressive. Tell me about the Navy and your time there.
Yeah, thanks. So, I went into the Navy right out of high school and then did spend 21 years. A lot of that was in the Hampton Roads area, in and out on ships and at the hospitals and the clinics for those deployments. Was fortunate enough to actually begin my career at Portsmouth Naval Hospital, and that was my last duty station as well. So I ended my career where I started. So certainly enjoyed serving the country, and worked with some very great people throughout my career, so very fortunate.
What was your education within the Navy? I know you have your role as a Navy man, and I understand that, but when you're talking about hospitals and management, did you go along the line of management where you are now?
Yeah, well, it ended up that way early on, in the lower grade. So I was enlisted. I wasn't an officer in the Navy. So I was in the hospital corps. So earlier on in your career, you're just like a worker bee. So I worked my way up through the ranks and then finished my career as a chief hospital corpsman there, which certainly got into more of the administrative side, running the PACU, the main OR anesthesia, and the Portsmouth Naval Hospital was my last tour. So really got into the management once I became a chief hospital corpsman.
For those of us who are not in the military, not familiar with the terms, when you talk about Navy Hospital Corps, does that mean a hospital location, or does that mean when you're needed out across the seas or within the country?
Yeah, no, so a hospital corps is kind of what your rating is. So you could be a torpedo man, you could be a airman. Hospital corps just means that you are in the medical field. And again, that does expand different things. Certainly being at a hospital working in an intensive care unit versus being out on an aircraft carrier and what your duties might be on an aircraft carrier, or whether you're on the green side where you go out with the Marines and deploy with them. Those are certainly different types of medical involvement, but all within the medical field.
Yeah. Your last appointment, if you will, your last job was in Durham, North Carolina. And I lived in South Carolina for a bit, so I'll welcome you back to having four seasons in a year. A little warm in the Carolinas, but
right.
But anyway, so you were the associate medical director there in the Durham VA health system in North Carolina. Talk a little bit about your time there.
Yeah, so I was within the Durham healthcare system for 4 years prior to coming here to Butler. And as you mentioned, the associate director there at the Durham healthcare system, which is really the chief operating officer for that facility. So I was doing that within that healthcare system for 4 years. That facility down there is a little bit larger. It's a complexity one. A facility, which just means they have a little bit more inpatient beds and some different research, about a $750 million budget there, and about 4,000 employees. So Butler certainly is a little bit smaller than that, but certainly no less important to being able to serve our veterans.
Why did you pick Butler? Why was that attractive for you?
Yeah, so this is my first director position, and again, a little bit less complex, but I actually came and visited Butler in November of last year, got to meet the staff here, And I think the draw for me was just how impressed I was with not only the staff themselves about the great things that they were doing for the veterans, running very successful programs, looking to expand the services that they provide for the veterans. But I'll also tell you that it was Butler itself. My wife came with me on the visit, and it was the small town feel. So I had mentioned it. I was spent a lot of my time in the Hampton Roads area, but the part of that that we lived in Chesapeake was the old historic district, and it was the same feeling that we got there when we moved years ago, is the small town feel. We could see in the community here in Butler how much they really appreciate and honor their veterans. Even having up on the light poles pictures of veterans from the Butler area that have served this country. So it was that was a big part of the draw here as well as was the community, not necessarily just the job itself.
Did you have to adjust your thinking, your approach to how to do this job when you're coming from the number of people, maybe versus the smaller setting that you have now? Or where you were in North Carolina, did it give you a great setup to come to our area to be able to become the director?
So I think both of those. So I think it certainly did give me the setup. Actually, I did do a 3-month detail in between when I was still attached to Durham, but before I came here, and went out to Hawaii, and they had a medical center director vacancy out there that I sat in for 3 months and helped them get started through the COVID process. As you know, I hit that right at that time as well. So, and that was a nice transition because that was getting into the role first, experiencing how I wanted to be able to provide communication to a new set of staff. So I think that one probably helped out even more to my transition here in Butler. But looking at things when you mentioned a larger facility versus a smaller, and I have mentioned how fortunate I am to have such great staff here at this facility, and they do some very great things here. So you come into a position like this and you do an evaluation and you see what things you might be able to improve on, knowing that they already do a lot of great things. And, you know, part of that is not all about the care that we do for our veterans, but our engagement of our staff, our training for our staff, and the development of our staff. So here I think we can do those things a little bit better that will enhance the people looking for new jobs to want to come work for the organization here in Butler, the VA here in Butler. And then certainly think that, you know, when people enjoy coming to work, the performance is a little bit better, and certainly that transitions into better, more consistent quality care for the veterans.
Mr. Kevin Amick is with us, the new Butler VA director, and let's talk a little bit about the last few months, because nobody in any position could have imagined the restructuring they had to do in their positions, whether we're talking schools or radio stations, or it doesn't matter, the industry, hospitals in there as well. You come in April of this year, April 26 is when you were appointed, and then right around the corner, COVID-19 is really something that we all had to pay attention to. So what was that like for you, and how did you have to quickly adjust?
So I would say, you know, this is difficult for any new director coming in, but it's even difficult for existing directors or even a director who might be into a new role but has been a director previously. Certainly had to adjust to what was going on. Part of that is really the partnerships and the communication with the community itself, because it's not just about any spread within the veteran population or the staff here. It's about what's going out in the community as well. So I think initially with the VA, it was making sure that we had the capacity that if we had veterans or even citizens in the community that became ill, that if those numbers got so large that VA would be able to really contribute as what we call our fourth mission in supporting local communities, is being able to make sure we can help them by having hospital beds that are available for those that became really sick. So I think initially it was evaluating your capability of your beds that are available to be able to assist in that realm. But then after that, it really was about looking at the safety for our veterans as well as our employees. So we wanted to continue to provide service for our veterans, but in a safe way, so we wouldn't have an outbreak. So we did limit at that time some face-to-face interactions within the building, and did some things by phone, which we traditionally have done in the past, but certainly that number increased a little bit. And then for those that had the technology to be able to do what we call virtual, either VVC or telephonic appointments, where we could actually see the patient and the patient could see their provider on the on those technologies, iPads and things like that, so that you could still see them and have those visits and address those needs, talk about those medications, renew medications, change medications, and so forth. So it really was just, again, trying to figure out how to continue to provide those services, but do it in a safer way.
For the virtual visits, have people adapted to that well? I know all around people were kind of launched into technology that they were avoiding at the time. And now that we are months into this, a lot of people are getting more comfortable with things like Zoom or Skype or whatnot.
Yeah.
Have people adapted well?
They have, and it'll continue to be something that we'll try to push for the next few months. You know, nationally, talk about the possibility of a spike in the fall. Certainly when flu season starts, you'll now have to juggle and try to figure out, are these flu-like symptoms or COVID-like symptoms? So in preparation, in case there is a spike that would decrease face-to-face visits, we're using the past 4, 5, 6 weeks and the upcoming month to try to get those more vulnerable patients into the building to see face-to-face, but while they're in here, do some training with them on the technology for those that are not that familiar. For those who are familiar with technology, it's just more about having a conversation and driving those decisions. And it really is, I think for the most part, those who have used it or stepped forward and tried to use it have had very positive experiences when they've done so. So once we get past that initial resistance, I think it's been very effective. And again, we want to set it up to where people feel comfortable for it in the future in case, you know, something happens where there's an additional outbreak. So we do have staff that are available here to be able to teach people. We are providing some of that technology for those who don't have it, some iPads that they'd be able to have to be able to conduct those appointments. And then certainly our providers are talking with the patients either on the phone or in person and talking to them about, okay, next appointment, what we try to do is do a virtual appointment with the VVC, or now that I saw you today, next in 2 months when I see you, we can just do a phone visit versus bringing you into the building and worrying about whether you might have the flu or COVID symptoms.
Were people holding off care at all during this time? And if they were, are you back up to a normal level of care for folks?
Yeah. So I think there was, I wouldn't say a delay in care. I certainly think, again, as we were limiting the face-to-face, there are some modalities like optometry or podiatry that don't lend themselves to doing something virtual like VVC. So those were a little bit limited. So there's a little bit more of a waiting time to be able to get in. But as you mentioned, as we started our moving forward plan, a couple months ago now, we are starting to decrease those numbers of people waiting for those face-to-face. For the other ones, I don't think that there was really a delay in care because some of those were appropriate to be able to, again, have a conversations on the phone, be able to hear the concerns of the veteran, you know, again, whether it was a renewal of medication that they either communicated on that phone visit or even through their secure messaging in My Healthy Vet, that we were able to meet those needs on those veterans.
And so I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I appreciate you using the words delay of care because that was going to be a question of mine. So let me clarify my question, if you don't mind, because I'm wondering if people held off in trying to make an appointment. There were conversations I've had in the past few months where there were medical professionals who said we're a little concerned about this, where people aren't going forward with their appointments. Did you find that people were not making their appointments? And are you encouraging people to keep up with their health care?
Yeah, no. So we don't feel that we've had any delay in care here within the Butler healthcare system. Again, I think for a facility that's a little bit smaller like this, you know, it is a little bit more personal. So a lot of the veterans here know the staff because they've been coming here for years, and a lot of the staff here have been here for years. So I think them reaching out and the comfort level of them being able to reach out to ask that question or send that secure message. So I won't say that there weren't any veterans who did not follow through with their care, because there might be some. There were some that felt that they didn't like to use technology, I'm sure, mm-hmm. and didn't feel safe coming into the VA facility, again, making themselves susceptible to what they felt might be somebody that might have.
Sure.
And I'm sure maybe we'll get a chance to talk about some of the safety measure we've put in place.
Well,
just so that
you know
veterans...
that was mm-hmm. going to be my next question. So why don't we go ahead and do that? I was going to ask, where are you now? Your safety protocols, visitations, are we allowed in the building? Not. Yep. Where are you right now?
Yep. So so we are increasing the number of face-to-face visits that we have. So typically with the appointments that are scheduled within the different services, they're communicating with the veterans about and doing an evaluation on whether this patient with this visit needs to be face-to-face or whether it can be done virtual. Then they have those conversations with those veterans to see what their desire is. And if it's face-to-face, then we certainly will see them face-to-face. If they feel comfortable with the phone or the VVC, then we will have that happen as well. Some veterans are actually even liking that more, because some will go out for their appointment wherever they work, sit in their car and have that virtual appointment, so where they really don't have to take vacation time to travel into the facility and then go back out. So we're trying to meet those needs and desires for those veterans. So we are increasing the face-to-face. We are still trying to ask folks that if you need to bring somebody with you, that you bring one person with you, just to limit the folks coming through. But we do have our social distancing guidelines. We're wearing appropriate PPE as far as the staffing is concerned. It is mandatory to wear a face mask when you come into the building. If it's somebody that cannot wear a face mask, we provide a face shield for them during their visit. And then for our direct patient care, our staff are wearing goggles for very close interaction. And that's certainly the normal things that always occurred, is following the manufacturer's instructions and stuff when we're cleaning our reusable medical equipment and things like that. But everybody that comes in the building, including the staff, has their temperature taken. If you happen to go out to your car to get something and you come back in, you get your temperature and all taken again. We have spacing throughout the facility marked off for chairs and waiting rooms and signs to talk about the social distancing of being apart 6 foot. We've implemented, for those who have technology and all, again, we've implemented what we call a vet text. So veterans can actually show up for their appointment. We have some parking spots that are marked vet text. They can text the clinic that they have arrived for their appointment. We'll get that text. We'll call them and check them in for their appointment while they're in their car, and then we'll text them when they can should come enter the building. So when they come enter into the building, they will have a staff member will be asking them our screening questions about COVID that CDC has recommended. Or there is a smart app that you can actually answer those questions, and it you just flash your phone that has the date and time that you took it, and it'll tell you whether to proceed or not. So then when you come into the building, we take your temperature, and starting on Tuesday, we actually will have body temperature scanners, so you won't even have to delay for somebody to use a scanner to put up near your forehead. When you come walking in the door, they'll tell us what your temperature is. The goal to that is to have people come in, show that they've answered those questions, already read the temperatures, and then when you go to the clinic, you walk right into the exam room, and you don't have people sitting out into the waiting rooms kind of congregating to where you have to worry about whether somebody's got a cold and, again, flu or something like that. So those are some of the things that we've put in place. And then the last thing that I probably should mention is next week as well, I think we'll have our Connex box. If you come driving into facility on the left-hand side, there's a Connex box out there. And that'll be our drive-through COVID testing area. So if somebody feels like they have symptoms and need to be tested for COVID, they would just drive up to that box and our staff will have their PPE on and be able to test you. It'll also, in a separate times listed, will be our drive-up area to be able to give flu shots to veterans. So again, they don't have to come into the building just to get the flu shot. They can come through and do the drive-through and get their flu shot starting next week as well.
Mr. Kevin Amick with us, the Butler VA director, just taking his role a few months ago in April, and it's our first chance to catch up with him. So we appreciate your time. I know you're over the time I asked you, and I appreciate that. But let me end on this. What is your vision for the future? You talked about a delay in care and how you're trying to avoid that. What are you going to do for the future? I know you cover Butler and Clarion and Mercer and Armstrong and Lawrence, so you have quite a few veterans that you're taking care of. How do you envision the future as you go forward?
Yeah, I think we're going to work through what the post-COVID looks like with our veterans here. Again, our desire here is to make sure that we meet the needs of all the veterans within our catchment area. And I think that means that we need to meet what their expectations are. So we're going to work together with those veterans again to determine how we can do that, whether that's a face-to-face appointment or whether that's a VVC appointment. So I certainly think providing that good customer service and meeting those expectations is always at the forefront of what we do. But now we have to add in there the safety of those veterans and the safety of the staff as well. So we're going to try to be as flexible as we can meeting those needs. And I think the last part of that is trying to make sure that we just provide the best care at the right time at the right place. And sometimes that doesn't always mean a face-to-face visit, but that might mean that it's a virtual appointment. It might mean to meet their needs that it's not here at Butler, but with utilizing our community partners that might be able to get you in a little bit more timely than what we can here at Butler, depending on what that demand is. So I would say to our veterans is that we're always trying to make sure that we do the best that we can for them. And I'm always open to hearing from our veterans to tell us when we are not meeting those expectations so that we can work together to make sure that we do that.
Mr. Kevin Amick, Butler VA Director, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.